Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, this is Kendra.
And Jade.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are so glad to have you on the show. For those that haven't listened before, this is a show for couples who have struggled with infertility or maybe a miscarriage, or you're going through an adoption. However God's building your family, we're happy to go on that journey with you.
Yeah.
And Jade has been filling in for us for a couple weeks now. We have loved having you on the show.
I've enjoyed
friends.
This. It's ministering to me.
You
seriously.
Bring a lot of excitement, energy, and passion, and the Word of God, which
Amen.
I love.
I'm about to say, yeah, it's the Lord. It's the Lord.
But unfortunately, today we do have to share with you guys why you've been filling in. We've mentioned that Anne has been spending some time with family, but there has been a tragedy that has faced their family, and it's with her permission and blessing that we are bringing this information to you and asking and begging you to be praying mm-hmm. for her family. We know a lot of our listeners pray for us, which is humbling. But I wanted to just read a statement about what happened to her so you guys would know how to pray. So on July 17th, Anne and her husband Will suffered a terrible loss when their precious baby, John Micah Thomas Cockrell, passed away only moments after an emergency procedure to save his life. Anne and her husband Will are clinging to God, the only power strong enough to mm-hmm. sustain them through such a heartbreaking trial. And Anne's taking time with her family right now. And she does ask that you continue to pray for her and wants to let you know that she is clinging to Christ in the middle of this trial.
Yes, you know, Anne and Will, they're such strong believers in the Lord. And I want to real quickly give the meaning of John Micah. That was their baby boy's mm-hmm. name. So John is after Will, Anne's husband's uncle, Johnny, who's mm-hmm. super special to them. And John, from the scriptures, also super special to Will. So John means God is gracious, and Lord knows He is. And Micah means who is like God. Mm-hmm. And they also got it from Micah chapter 7, verse 7, which says this, y'all. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Mm-hmm. So it's a beautiful name for such a beautiful baby boy whom they will be reunited one day. And so, yeah, we've been praying and walking with her in that journey.
Mm-hmm. So. Y'all pray for us that we can get through this episode.
Yes.
Whew, I'm tearing yes. up as we start. Yeah. But if you are listening and you've gone through a loss or you're afraid of going through a loss, I just want to let you know, don't scrub past this episode, because we all go through tragedies. And even though today's topic is going to be heavy, mm-hmm. There is hope that's going to be an anchor for your soul that you're going to have to cling to. So we're going to the Word of God when these kinds of things happen. And today's guest knows a lot about that. Because you have earned the right to speak onto this topic. We have had him on our show before, Matt Powell. We had he and his wife Andrea on for a four-part series. And there's a lot of titles that you wear in life, but you are, to me, you're Ann and Will's pastor.
That's right.
That's how I came to know you.
I'll take that one. That's a good one.
And for those of you that haven't heard in that, I'm going to call it a mini-series, because we, Anne mentioned on the program that nobody in her life has represented Job more than your family. And anybody who's in our area in Tupelo knows you all and, like, would easily make that association. I'm going to give the quick recap, and then Matt conducted John Micah's services. And so it was, you guys, it was one of the most humbling, beautiful, terrible moments I've ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to say something to my dear friends, Anne and Will. I saw you lift your hands in worship in the service. And that statement, that action proves where your heart and your loyalties lie. Mm. And I know you guys have a lot of painful questions that you're wrestling with right now as you talk to God, but you're talking to Him. And we see you and we love you. And I did want to give a quick shout out to any of our listeners. If you would like to give an encouragement to Anne, Hannah's Heart at afa.net is the email. I'll make sure that she sees those. Or if you'd like to leave a comment on any of our social media platforms, please be respectful of their privacy in this situation. But any prayers or encouragements are incredibly welcomed. So that being said, let me give a quick recap of Matt's and Andrea's story, and it alone could make a crazy movie, but you have many children. Started off with Ashlyn. You all had a miscarriage after that. Then you had a daughter, Adeline, then suffered three back-to-back miscarriages, literally back-to-back, when the Lord blessed you with little Judah, who was named Praise. And you saw him praising in the womb. I remember that part of your story. Mm-hmm. And then you had Ansley, is it right? Ainsley?
Mm-hmm. Ainsley.
Ainsley. And then suffered a terrible loss after Judah had a heart condition, went through heart surgery, seemed to be better, had some wonderful years with him, had a completely tragic situation. He was how old?
Three and a half.
Yeah. And passed away instantly.
Yes, it was completely unexpected. He was a healthy boy. Mm. The doctors had completely fixed his condition and early surgery in his life and said, play football, basketball, you know, whatever you want to do, run, play, be a kid. To this day, we're still not sure what happened, nor are they. Mm. And it's hard to think about that.
And your wife, you also had a daughter, Lucy, at that point. So you're having to take care of a little one and lots of little ones in the middle of the thick of the grief of Judah about a month later, right?
Well, so Judah passed away in January 26th of 2018. And then Lucy was born on November 11th, 2018. So it was later that year.
So your wife finds out she's pregnant while she's in the middle of grieving, and then breast cancer.
So that was right? Yeah, that's right. That's a part of our story. But there was one more child after that.
Help me, Matt.
I've got a lot of children, Kendra. That's what it is. In fact, and with Judah's passing, so I have six children, including Judah. Mm. But with Judah's passing, there's a significant gap between the older children and the younger children.
Okay.
We were out to eat a few months ago, and somebody asked me if the older ones were from the first marriage. Yeah. And I said, they are.
Yeah.
And these are too. but without him in the picture, it looks like something happened, right? So we have a 16, 13, and then 6, 4, 3.
Yeah, and so Lucy and Peter, got to get all of these
Lucy and Peter came after the death of Judah and probably would not be here had he not died.
Wow.
You would never trade one child for another, but we were not going to have any more children. But
they were part of the healing process for you.
They were, absolutely. And we, when we found out we were expecting Peter, it was 4 days later. This was in December of 2019. That we found out that Andrea had a very aggressive form of cancer. It had not spread super significantly yet. It was already in the lymph nodes and things like that, but it was not as bad as it could be. But the kind of cancer it was fed by the hormones that increased during pregnancy. So it was a very dangerous thing to go through while pregnant. So she's my hero. She carried the baby, took chemotherapy through all of that, had a significant cancer surgery at 12 weeks pregnant. And then after giving birth to him early, 2 days later, started radiation for 6 weeks. And just, she's my hero.
Come on, Jesus.
I know, he is so faithful. And I just, if I ever want to know if God loves me, all I have to do is look at her because she is such a tremendous blessing and inspiration to me.
I've heard it said that God does not waste pain. Yeah. Now, it would be wrong of us to think that God causes these things to happen just so that we can help other people go through them. I think that's a it's tempting to think that, you know, God is a manipulative God who would, how does that paint God? But I will say this, if anybody has earned the right to talk about this topic, it is your family. And you have an ability to minister to Ann and Will right now because of what you guys have gone through. So at the service, you shared some really beautiful words from scripture and some encouragement, and we want to kind of get into some of that today. Mm-hmm. So let's just back up. How do you begin ministering to couples who have gone through tragedies like this?
Wow, that's a great question. Starting with a couple thoughts from the scripture, you were comparing my life to Job. I haven't broken out in boils yet, and God
just forbid. Everything else.
Yeah, God forbid. But there have been some really hard seasons there. But in thinking and meditating on the scripture of that time, at the beginning of Job's story, his three friends come and sit with him in silence for 7 days and minister to him and lift up his heart and care for his broken wounds. Mm. And then they start trying to figure out what happened. And that's when everything goes sour. And it was not that they were saying something. It was what they were saying. And it was based on a misunderstanding of who God is. But we see through that process that there's some applicational things that we can learn when somebody's hurting, just being there, like going to a funeral for a friend. Mm. And you may think, oh, there's going to be hundreds of people there. They won't even know that I'm there. Oh, they know. Mm. Or if they don't see you, they'll hear about it. And then later they go, oh my gosh, they came, they cared. Yeah. Those things bind up broken hearts. And also, one of the things that comes all ministry, ministry is handed from one hand to another. Mm. And ultimately going back to the hands of Christ, that it's being passed down. So for us, the people who were that for us, that word of experience from pain, there's people here locally in Tupelo, Mitch and Christy Waycaster, who had lost their son, I believe in 2005. And I actually, Mitch and his daughter Jill came to the hospital the day Judah died, along with many other people. But after, I mean, just one of the sad realities of when your child dies, you have to hand them over to the funeral services. Like that was such a hard moment. Well, after the funeral services came, and they did such kind people here locally. I went to the waiting room to see if anybody was still there, just so I could thank people for coming. And Mitch was there, and he was smiling, and it was a soft, happy smile. And Jill was too, his daughter. And I believe, had it been anyone else, I don't know how I would have received it, but it ministered such peace to me. Mm. It's kind of like that. That little beam of sunlight bursting through the storm clouds.
Hope through.
Yeah, that there's hope there, that there's beauty in ashes somewhere. And that began a conversation with them, and they did a lot of listening and a lot of praying and helped walk with us. Mm. And they would not have traded their son, Clay, in order to minister to us.
Right.
Nor would we trade Judah to minister to anybody else. But oh my goodness, we're so grateful. Like, I cannot... Judah cannot come back to me in this life, but I can go to him. I will see him again.
Come on.
But his life can be used. Mm. And that's one of the things that Christy Waycaster told me. Mm. When we lost Judah, is it okay to talk about Clay? Because it's such a sensitive thing, like to bring up. That was one of the things that we've experienced when people like Will and Ann, it's like, can we talk about Judah? Is it okay? And yes, like we want, if we don't talk about him, he doesn't get talked about.
Yeah.
And so people remembering him and remembering his story, and if it can be used to accomplish good, glory to God. And it also gives absolute validation that he came into this world for such a time as this.
That's what I was saying.
His life is not wasted. It's significant.
Exactly. One thing I was thinking of while you were talking in Revelation, where it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So even though we don't, of course, nobody desires such heartache. I haven't had children yet. So all I can do is the best that I can in empathizing. I have a stepchild. I'm a childless stepmom. Is empathize with others. But to hear this story, it teaches me how to persevere in those hard times when I'm hurting over, here's another year of not having a child. But the Lord uses these testimonies, because look how the way Cassie was able to bless she.
Absolutely.
It's like a ripple effect.
That's right.
And so the Lord, it does not go to waste, our stories.
And if you haven't gone through a tragedy, we are promised trouble in this life.
Come on.
We don't know
Jesus
what
kind. Said it, yes.
But we know it is coming. And
yeah.
I will say, I had an example of J.J. Jasper. When I first came to AFA, I got to interview his story. And
J.J. was another one.
J.J.
spoke
was
into
another
my life.
One.
Wow.
I had words from editing a video for his family called Flame On about his son Cooper's passing. I had his voice in my head speaking scripture when I had my miscarriage. And one of the first things I said when I found out was, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And it would not have been there had I not already processed grief through somebody else's pain. So a lot of us, have questions of, why does God allow this? What's the point? And wrestling with all of that, and knowing God's word through troubled times is going to help you before the tragedy comes. So,
ooh, that part right there. I'm sorry.
Before it
knowing
comes.
Knowing his word before that time, because it's going to happen.
So, yeah. So Matt, what would you say to people who are struggling with a tragedy and they're like, I just don't even see the point of all this pain?
Can I add one more quick
yes,
thing
please.
To this? The previous thing is, as people are listening and have friends who've experienced infertility, miscarriage, the death of a child, things like that, and they personally have not experienced those things, you may think, well, I don't have anything to offer.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Because people, your presence,
yes,
you're staying in touch with them,
yes,
you're loving on them.
Yeah.
You don't have to have words to minister to somebody. In fact, one of the greatest ministries that we had to our family when Judah died was Will and Ann, because of how sweetly Will and Ann treated our daughters.
Aww.
And just, I remember in particular Ann to my daughter AK. And that was, looking back on that, I'm just so grateful. So we can all have a ministry, whether or not.
That's good.
Hey, gone
if,
through it.
Yeah. You don't want to be able to empathize.
Right.
Nobody
yeah.
wants, but yeah. we can all sympathize.
Well, the yes. body of Christ is a body. And if one right. part suffers, every part suffers. When you stub your toe, your hand might not know what it felt like, but it reaches and grabs that toe.
Oh, you know. The whole body feels it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, okay. So back to that, those hard questions. How do you help Christians who are grieving with those questions that are afraid to ask God, but they've got to wrestle with? And how did you?
Yeah, that's a really good thing. So a really good question to ask. So I think we all do this in our own way. But first, I would just encourage people, it's okay to ask God hard questions. Even one of the apostles that we call saint today is nicknamed Doubting Thomas.
Mm.
Like,
yes.
He made it to heaven, okay?
Yes.
Like, is okay.
He died for...
That's right. He died
for...
Martyred, according to tradition in India. But it's one of those things that we look on doubt and what God is doing. Because there's different doubts, right? Mm-hmm. There's the doubt of, God, are you really there?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really experience so much of, is there a God?
Yeah.
For me, it was, God, what are you doing? And because this seems, even though I don't believe God was actively causing my son's death, I mean, goodness, I still have to deal with the reality that he didn't stop it.
Wow.
I mean,
right.
he could have,
keep
but,
it real.
But he didn't. And his ways are not my ways. Mm-hmm. And, I can't pretend to know that I what he knows and why he does what he does. But it's okay to ask those questions.
Mm.
And also another one, this is not my phrase. I've heard 100 different preachers say it, but it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things that I remind the folks at the church that I'm privileged to pastor at, is that one of the most beautiful scenes in the whole Bible is Jesus in Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is before his glorification and suffering in the cross.
Yeah.
And what is he saying? He is saying, and I'm being casual in my expression of this, God, are we sure about this?
Yes.
Like,
I'd rather do it a different way.
Can we do it another way?
Yeah. Yeah.
And now, I am not saying in any way Jesus was not fully committed to the will of God.
Absolutely.
But there we see such this beauty of the humanity mm-hmm. of Christ, not just his divinity. We often focus just on his divinity. But as the God-man, we see him experiencing these human emotions of like, this is really hard. Mm. And if there was another option, I'd be open to that.
Yeah.
So if Jesus was not okay with Gethsemane,
come on, Pastor.
We can be not okay with the stuff that we face in our lives.
I have a question. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just said, not to mention that he cried.
So I'm thinking it's got to be about 2, 3, 4 shows.
Yeah. Right.
My question to you, I'm listening, and were you ever angry at God? Because I think, and maybe you were, I don't know, but I think there may be some listeners who's like, I'm angry at God because I've gone through this grief. Mm. Were you ever angry at him?
Mm, that's a great question. So for me personally, when Judah died, it was not the tripwire mm-hmm. for my anger towards God. I was very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the tripwire was when Andrea got cancer.
Mm.
And that was, keep in mind, when that happened, that was a year and a half removed from Judah's passing.
Because at that point, you're like, come on, God, we've had our fair share.
I know. Yeah, it was just, real. It's one of those things. Mm-hmm. And it was, and also I had believed that God had just encouraged my heart in such a way that things were going to be all right mm-hmm. for a while. And the fact that that is when I dealt with anger.
Mm-hmm.
That was my most significant. Andrea was at peace at that time. Mm-hmm. Again, such an amazing model of faith. She was angry, though, mm-hmm. when Judah died.
Mm-hmm.
We processed that. We were both hurt, but I was more on the hurt side
mm-hmm.
of loss.
Yeah.
And she was hurt, but also wrestled with the anger. When it came to the cancer, and then also thinking, are we going to lose Peter too? Am I going to lose Andrea? Am I going to lose both of them?
Because she was pregnant when she was diagnosed with cancer. Yeah. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
And then we were faced with these terrible decisions to make of, hey, do we need to have a therapeutic abortion so she can receive treatment to save her life?
Yeah.
And you're like, I mean, I'm as pro-life as they come, and
right.
I'm sitting here listening and trying to decide what we're supposed to do to choose life in this situation. It's a tragedy.
Yeah.
And it was just, that was a season where I was angry.
You bring up a good point, though, that couples do process grief differently and in mm-hmm. different ways, because mm-hmm. my husband and I, with ours, he experienced some initial anger towards God, and mine was more of the hurt. And we, at different times, felt different things. Mm-hmm. The death of a child is one of those statistical things that most marriages don't make it.
90%.
Is it 90%?
90%.
Yeah.
But you all did. So what kept you together?
And I want to add to this question. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote it down. What helped you and your wife come together in that bedroom?
Mm-hmm.
Like you conceived, like she said, like what helped you to remind yourself of your covenant before the Lord?
Right.
That's how I see sex. It's reminding yourself.
Right.
God created sex, y'all. I can say it.
He did. It's his gift. It is very interesting that when we announced that we were expecting Lucy, there was a lady that actually approached me on Facebook who was in a previous church I'd ministered at and said, I'm so blessed. I've been praying for this for the longest time. And I said, oh, I thank you. I thought she was saying,
"Yeah,
I've been praying for you to have a baby."
Yeah.
But she made it clear, no, I've been praying that you all would come together as man and wife again.
Yes.
She was talking about intimacy.
Amen.
And which I was like, no,
that's a little awkward. Yeah,
you're praying for what?
Yes,
I love that.
I told that story in church. I had so many men come up to me after church and said, "Will you put me on that woman's prayer list?"
But, on that prayer list.
Right,
my husband ain't got to pray that. Yeah.
But intimacy is an expression of the God willing health of the relationship.
Come on, Pastor Matt.
That when people come together in a God-ordained, intimate way, it's an expression of this covenantal relationship they have with each other.
Come on, Pastor.
And so for us, God used the tragedies to bring our hearts mm-hmm. together.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one of the things that I admire so much about the Jasper family.
I was just about to bring them up, yeah.
Is that our tragedies were very different.
Yeah.
For instance, if you're familiar with the accident with the ATV and things, where Andrea nor I were with Judah. We were both 30 feet away when he dropped, and just that was a totally different kind of tragedy to process. Yeah. And I have so much respect for the Jaspers and just how God has used them to touch my life and so many others. But I think part of it is calling on Jesus together, because you got nothing else you can do. That's one of the biggest things, I think, that what brought us together.
That's an incredible, incredible testimony.
We got to keep this going. This is
we
good.
Do. We are about out of time. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. If y'all haven't read Job, go hit it again, because there's so many beautiful truths there that will encourage you. Again, if you would like to send an encouragement to Ann and Will, hannahsheart@afa.net. Thank you all for listening to Hannah's Heart. Whatever tragedy may come your way, know that God is an anchor for our soul, and He can hold you firm and secure. He sees you, and you are not alone. Thanks for listening to Hannah's Heart.
And we invite you to listen in again next week for part two of this program, dealing with the topics of grief and loss, with our guest, Pastor Matt Powell, here on Hannah's Heart.